Absolutely. And we really appreciate him calling in and rescheduling with us after we had some technical difficulties last week. But we are proud to welcome Coach Jeff Kelly of Saraland High School. He's built a powerhouse in a very short period of time, in 5 years, down in Mobile. And they are coming off their best season in school history, Super 7, got to get used to saying that now, appearance against a very good Clay Chalkville team. And I felt like it was the best game of the Super 7. They lost a 36-31, just a great football game, led for much of the second half of that game against a very talented Cougar team. But, Coach Kelly, welcome to BAMS Radio tonight, and we really appreciate you calling.
Hey, good afternoon. I appreciate you guys having me on. I hope y'all are doing well. Things are a little bit warmer than it was this time last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit, Coach. Actually, I can see my car. It'll actually open now. Everything was kind of frozen solid. We were in a holding pattern big time. Obviously, the weather's kind of wrecked havoc in the state a little bit the last couple weeks or so. But we appreciate you hanging in there with us and coming back on. And we just we look forward to talking a little ball with you today about Saraland and the Trojans. And we first of all want to congratulate you on the program that you and your staff have built. Obviously, in 5 years, that's a short amount of time. You've already built a very fine, consistent program, and it's just a credit to you and your coaches.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm lucky to get a chance to go to work here every day. We've got some outstanding coaches. They make my job really easy, and we've got a lot of veterans. We've got a good mix of guys. We've got some guys that's been around a long time. We've got some very savvy, knowledgeable coaches. And most importantly, we got some unbelievable high character guys that work with our kids on a daily basis, and our principal, he lets all our coaches work and supports us, and it's got to be done right, but our success, anything we may have, it starts at the top with her. She's tremendous, lady to work for.
No question about it. And talk about a little bit the success that you guys had. I mean, obviously, you were able to get over the hump against a very fine program that Coach Freeman had built at Spanish Fort last year. You guys had a 14-10 win in the semifinals and had lost a very close game to them, if I remember correctly, in the regular season. But
right.
Just kind of talk about the journey your team was on, because beating Spanish Fort, I know they had the injury at quarterback, but that's no small feat.
Well, they're a good football team, and they're a good program, and they're still, going to be one of the best teams in the state going in this year, and they'll be around. Whoever's going to be up there, they're going to have to deal with Spanish Fort, and, hopefully people are looking at us in that same pattern. We've been just finished our fourth season here, and there's been so many things changed over those 4 years. There's our players, our strength level, and just the level of depth and talent has just done, went through the roof. And a lot of our credit, when you're talking about building over the years, we're a city school system. We get our kids from here in the city, and the good thing about that is coaches, we go down there, we know who the kids are in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and Coach Jeff Witten is one of our coaches. He runs our strength conditioning program here with our system. he does a great job training our guys. He puts them through it, a year-round program that, has really, I think, been one of the secrets to our success over the years. You think back 4 years ago, we've been fortunate. We've been in playoffs every year. But in the second year of existence, we made it in 4A, and enrollment kept going. We made it in 5A, and everybody didn't think we could compete. And 2 years into 5A, we're in the semifinals. We got bumped to 6A, and our kids just continue to answer the bell, and they show up to work every day. We don't have a glamorous bunch or a ton of 4- or 5-star guys. We got some really good players, but we got a bunch of kids that show up and work every day, and they bring their hard hat, and they love to compete. They love to hit the weight room. They love to practice when it gets time out there on the field. And, for a coach, I don't know what else you can ask for. But we are excited about, you know, where we've been. We've got to find a way to get over the hump and win the big game. And that's what we're continually preaching to our kids. Right now we've had a good run, but we've really, you know, we've yet to win a region championship. We've yet to win a state championship. There's a ton of things that we hadn't done. We got a lot of work to do, but it's, you know, that journey that you talk about, that's a lot of fun.
Coach Kelly, this is Kerry Clark with Bama Magazine and Scout.com. We hadn't talked for about 5 years. I think the last time me and you talked was when you brought Jackson down to Bryant-Denny in 09. But it's great to have you on the show. And I wanted to also tell you that we have a mutual friend, Wayne Vickers, his wife Pam, was actually in my wedding. So we know a lot of the same people.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, my world, right?
There's not many people. There's not many better individuals out there. She's such a talented counselor. She's got a great heart for those kids. I know Alabaster was excited to get her husband, you know, Dr. Wayne Vickers, but maybe the biggest kid in that system was Miss Pam, his wife. She's a tremendous educator.
Yes, great people, good friends of my family, and actually learned this week that their son Jordan is about to sign to be the long snapper at Birmingham Southern in the next few years. Coach, I thought I'd pass that along to you also.
Hey, that's Jordan. That's great news.
Yeah, I figured you might not have heard about it yet. I think they really hadn't gone public, but we're not really breaking anything. He's getting ready to sign any day now. Coach, again, we appreciate having you tonight. We both got a bunch of stuff we want to ask you, but I wanted to start off with asking you actually about a couple of your former players before we get to Saraland. I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about well, I'm sorry, they didn't play for you. Never mind. I was thinking of Coach Kelly. Coach Kelly's coming on in a couple of weeks. All right, well, my question is, when y'all played Clay Chalkwell in the state championship over Jordan-Hare, tell me, from an evaluation and from a scheming point of view, what jumped out at you about their two good receivers? They had a great junior and a great, well, last year was a sophomore, and y'all had to go against that.
You know what? I've taught, you know, when you look at them, and we played some good teams moving up to them, but when we saw them on tape, you know, the thing that jumped out, I thought they were easily the fastest team in the state that we've, you know, and I hadn't seen Hoover. I don't know, but from a team speed, especially offensively, you know, their quarterback was extremely elusive. Their tailback, you know, even the one that came in after the guy got hurt, he was a dynamic player, but, you know, they had those two receivers. The other two guys that played in their bunch were really good, too. You know, they were so balanced. They were so good all over the place that you really couldn't come in with a plan to necessarily try to take away one guy. You know, a lot of times you'll play a team that's got a guy that's much better than the other one, and you can maybe roll some covers that way and do some special things, but you know, Clay Chalkwell was a team that you had to line up and play, you know, almost base defense. You know, you had to, you know, you couldn't sell out against a pass because their quarterback could hurt you so good, so much in the run game. You know, we were not a great, you know, man-to-man cover team. If you go back and look at what we did, that was a very little part of what we did. So, I mean, we're a zone team, and, you know, we tried to let the play happen in front of us, and we wanted to make that quarterback, you know, take their drive and make it 10 or 12 plays before they got to the end zone. They had lived by the big play all year long. And I thought our coaches put together a great plan. We really did a great job limiting those guys compared to what they've done through the season. And if you take away the last 4 minutes of the game, you know, we really did a good job of it. We just, you know, there a couple of those receivers got loose on us late. And, you know, we had a guy making his first start back at safety in the state championship game. Our safety had, you know, broke his leg the week before. And, you know, so that, and that's not an excuse. So, but, you know, they found us in that spot and able to hit us with a few deals. But those guys were very, very fast, talented. I know one of them committed to Alabama, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and the other one's got offers from all over the place. And they're going to be around this year, too. You know, they didn't lose very much. You know, they lost a few defensive players, but you know, overall, they're a team that's bringing back a lot of firepower. And you know, I know Stuart Floyd is their offensive coordinator. I know Coach Hood. Stuart was one of my teammates in college, and I know those guys will have them ready. And you know, and somebody's gonna have to beat them. And you know, I'd love to get another opportunity, but they were very good, very talented, speed everywhere, and really made it tough. You couldn't just sell out to one guy or one, you know, phase of that game. You had to try to play as balanced as you could.
And the guys that Coach is talking about, just for the benefit of the listeners, Alabama commit, but T.J. Simmons, who will be a senior at Clay Shotwell next year, and 6'5", rising junior, just a sophomore right now, Nico Collins is the other one, and his defense had to go against both those guys in the state championship. Coach, to properly ask the question I was going to ask, you have coached against Spanish Fort a number of times in the last few years. It seems like y'all sometimes have to play them twice every year.
Too many times.
Your opinion. Yeah, I'm saying nobody looks forward to going against them. They're basically the Hoover of Mobile.
We're getting those cats to come to our place this year. We went over there 3 times in a row in the last 2 years, so we're excited to get them to come to Saraland.
Your stadium's going to be packed, and cars will be all up and down the access road there. And I have seen your stadium. It's very beautiful. Dr. Vickers took me around and showed me while I was down there visiting one time. But getting back to my question, tell us what you think about, first off, the Spanish Fort quarterback. These boys are brothers. Tyler Johnson, and then his younger brother, the linebacker, Thomas Johnson. You played against him more than anybody, Coach. Tell us how you and his ball players.
You know what? Those guys may be two of the biggest competitors of anybody I've seen in high school in a long time. I know them well. I've got to know them well. I see them. I see a lot of those brothers every weekend. I've got a little son, and they got a little brother that plays against each other every weekend and travel baseball, and so I've gotten to know those kids. They're outstanding guys. You know, their quarterback is the heart and soul of that football team. You know, and he's an outstanding player. I think Thomas, the younger one, is one of the best outside backers I've seen in a long time. I watched him play baseball last week. He's an outstanding third baseman. I wouldn't be surprised if he don't end up getting drafted in baseball. He's just a great kid. But, you know, Ben Blackman's going to walk in there and do a great job. But, you know, those kids have the mentality. We played them in some big games. We played them in the semifinals both years with a lot on the line. And there's a ton of intensity that goes into walking into the hill over at Spanish Fort and playing in a semifinal game. And you'll see, I like to watch guys. And those players that come out jumping and hooping and hollering and trying to, you know, talk some smack or maybe get in that other team's head, and everybody's really excited. And then you see the two brothers walk out behind everybody else. They're not saying a word. They're still stone-eyed. You know, they're getting ready to play. They just show up and they get after it. They're awful good football players.
Coach, I wanted to talk about some of your guys, and you had a very good football team, obviously, last year, and I wanted to talk about somebody that I think is going to continue to up his profile. I talked to him on the phone. I felt like he was a class young man and a class act, and I wanted to talk about Velus Jones, your receiver. He really finished the year strong for you. I mean, he made some big plays in that, again, in Spanish Fort in the semifinals, and had a touchdown catch in the Super 7, if I do remember correctly, and put up numbers. Just talk about Velus and the journey he's been on, and his best football is still ahead of him.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, Velus is a guy that he's a hard-working kid. He's a tough kid. He loves to block. Not many wide receivers really take the pride, I think, that he does. He's a great, intense football player. You know, he's very explosive. He's as fast as just about anybody out there. He's got a huge knack for making the big play. He caught a ton of, you know, go balls and posts and that kind of stuff. And I'm really proud of him. You know, he's gotten a lot of notoriety over the last couple of months. And, you know, he's got about 20 offers now. And about 6 weeks ago,
wow,
he had 0 offers. And, You know, so he's a guy, really? And he's got some big time offers from all around the country. You know, SEC schools. He was offered by UCLA this past week, Louisville, you know, Florida, and you know, and he's very proud of him, and he's handling all of that really, really well. He's not a guy that likes to talk about that kind of stuff and go through it, but he's a guy that. You know, shows up and wants to be the best football player he can be and try to help his team, you know, maybe get back to the Super 7 and maybe come out the best, you know, as the best this year during senior year. But he's a really good player. Changes directions. Very explosive. You know, so I'm tickled to death that he's on our side.
No doubt. And I guess from talking to him, he basically told me, he said he grew up in Auburn family. He was a young kid, but he said I'm taking this as a business decision, which I think is a great approach for him to take. I mean, he's just going to take it all in. He's just going to let it get through his head, just evaluate the schools that offer him. And like he said, just keep working because he just wants to keep getting better. And there's no doubt about it. He had a great year, over 1,000 yards receiving. And obviously now there's been a buzz about a young quarterback that you've got that'll be starting for you this year. In his first year, Jack West, and I started hearing about him last year, and I talked to him, and he was a class young man. You got some really good kids in your program, and he and I was surprised because when I started hearing about him, I didn't realize he didn't start until I talked to him, and he told me, you know, I've gotten a chance to play in several games, but I back up a young man, or I back up Chris Weaver, and I wanted to talk to you about Weaver as well because I know he's going to Louisiana Lafayette. He's already, or the University of Louisiana, I guess is what they call it now. But he's already signed with them, and he really impressed me. It's kind of a mini Tim Tebow and kind of a heart of your football team last year in the Super 7.
Yeah, you know, Chris is a guy that I think, you know, 4 years from now there's going to be a lot of people that know about him. He is a tremendous leader, you know, tough as nails, can make all the throws, and he's an athletic guy that can get involved in the run game. You know, and he's really played quarterback for 1 year. And so I was really proud of him. He's going to be there's not many guys that play quarterback 1 year. And, you know, what people don't know, that he was probably one of the best. He was a first-team All-State linebacker last year. And so he goes from an All-State linebacker to a Division I quarterback. Just gives you an idea what kind of athletic ability he's got. But, you know, Jack is a kid that, you know, has, you know, everything that you could look for. You know, he's 6'3 and a half, 205, 210. You know, he's an athletic kid. He's probably going to be a 30 to 35 ACT guy when it's said and done. He, football is a deal that, you know, he's been with me for the last 5 or 6 years since he's been about the fifth grade. And, you know, there's not many fifth grade, sixth grade kids out there that want to come and sit in on meetings and sit in on quarterback meetings with the older kids. And he's one of the biggest students of the game. And I know there's some tremendous names and some tremendous comparisons that's going to be made about him in the future. I really think he's got a chance to be one of the best guys nationwide. You know, he can throw it with anybody. I'm excited, but he's a kid that, you know, he's played some mop-up duty. He's got three offers, and he's never started a football game. You know, Division I offer. I think that he's going to show up hungry. He is hungry. He's one of the best leaders. You know, after we finished lifting, we got a bunch of older guys. You know, when you got a ninth grader in there taking charge and breaking down the team and setting up times for guys to go work after school or whatever, there's not many ninth grade kids out there that command that kind of respect from his teammates. You know, Jack's a guy that's got to go earn. We've been a lot of talk about him for the last few years, and he'll be the first to tell you. You know, he hasn't done a thing yet, and you know, he's got to show up, and he's got to do it. You know, 3rd and 10. You know, versus the Daphnes, versus the Spanish Forts and the Bloods, he's got to be able to stare down the gun barrel when guys are blitzing and bringing pressure, and be able to make that tough throw. And, And the next 3 years is going to be fun to watch him grow and develop as a quarterback.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Coach. And I got that idea from talking to him this past fall. I got a hold of him on Twitter, and then we talked on the phone, and he was the one that told me, of course, about his situation then with Chris Weaver, and I felt like he was still very humble about it. You could tell that he respected Rodney. He said Weaver had taught him a lot about leadership and how to be a better quarterback, and he was taking it and waiting for his turn, and now he's got an opportunity to be a 3-year starter for you. Obviously, you guys' expectations are still going to be high going in, but just kind of talk about your schedule next year. Who you guys have lined up to play, and just tell our listeners what to be anticipating.
It is a tough schedule. You know, we play our region. You know, you got Spanish Fort, you got Blount, you got Daphne. It starts and stops with those three teams. If you don't have any success, you got to be able to beat those guys. You've got a lot of other teams that's right there on the cusp of taking that next step. You know, teams like LaFleur and Robertsdale that any given year can show up and break your heart. And so you got to be ready week in, week out. We're gonna play a preseason game, a Jamboree game versus Jackson. You know, a 5A semifinal team, and we know they're gonna.
Yes.
Test us really good and hopefully get us ready to go. But we're looking forward to spring. We got a bunch of kids, and we want to really see those guys compete and just see what they can do. Our spring is very physical, and we like to put those guys in as many competitive situations as we can. And we got to have some guys step up. You know, we talked about Weaver and those guys that are graduating and going. We got a couple of linebackers that are leaving that was, you know, good players for us for a long time. And so we got a lot to learn about our team this spring. And, you know, if we develop and work hard, we'll have a chance to have a decent football team when it's said and done. And that's what we're hoping for.
Coach Kelly, this is Kerry again. We're not going to keep you too much longer, but I do have one final question for you. And I hope that Jack West realizes how fortunate he is, because, Coach, when they sit around the Cracker Barrel in Hattiesburg and they talk about Southern Miss football, the quarterback conversation starts with Brett Favre, and then it goes on to Reggie Collier, and then it gets to Jeff Kelly. And I don't know if a lot of people listening to this realize that you were a quarterback at Southern Miss, and that you did play. This is an Alabama radio show, and you did play against the University of Alabama. So I was wondering if maybe you could share with us some of your memories about playing against the Crimson Tide back when you quarterbacked the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, you know, back when I was playing them, it was, some years we played them at Bryant-Denny, and some years we played them at Legion Field. And it was a different atmosphere when we played them at Bryant-Denny. You know, and Legion Field was, I know there's a lot of tradition and that kind of stuff. But Alabama was a different football team when they were playing on campus. We would have rather played them at Legion every year, and we did beat them, you know, early in the season one year, my junior year. But it was always fun to line up and play those guys. You know, there was a lot of Alabama kids on the Southern Miss football team. And there's – you know, so there was a lot of guys that showed up in that game with chips on their shoulders and, you know, a little bit extra in the tank, maybe getting ready to play. So it was always fun. You know, the year we beat them, that was a great, you know, experience. And, you know, because you grow up in Alabama, you know, and you don't get an opportunity to go to school there for whatever reason. If you ever get a chance to go back and come out on the good end, that's a good feeling. But you know, it was a tremendous atmosphere, and there's been so much tradition over the years, and good players come through Tuscaloosa. But we were happy to go compete with them, and we used to do it every year. I know they don't do it now like that, but that was an annual deal for us when we were coming through at Southern Miss.
Yes, it was. And I admit I missed the game. I think they gave Alabama as good an out of conference competition as anybody I hope that program is going to finally get back up on the uptick, because it was one of the most, you know, unheralded programs that continued to turn out NFL players and really good college players overall. I always enjoyed watching them play, and they always seem to pull an upset every other season. Hopefully, you know, that program will get back on solid ground soon, Coach. But we appreciate you joining us on BAMS tonight. It's been a quick, you know, 30 minutes or so, 25 minutes, and we know you're a busy guy. Obviously, you guys are getting ready for spring football, but we have really admired the program you've built at Sarah Land. I started really hearing the buzz about them last year, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you get back this year, next year to Bryant-Denny Stadium for the Super 7. And we think you're definitely going to have a program that's going to be one of the better ones in the state from this point forward, as long as you're the head coach there. And we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, thank you all so much for having us. We'll look forward to talking to you in the future.